Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hi, my name is Mary Patrick. Welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 123. I'm here as your leading host tonight with Thomas and Michael helping me out. So, Thomas, what did you do with guns today or this week?
I did a little bit of brass prep, I did a Michael. I actually polished the chamber of my Strike One mic. I actually took a little chamfering tool and some polishing compound, and that chamber, it sparkles. It's nice and shiny now.
Welcome to the dark side.
I did.
Cookies and shiny brass.
Well, I always tease Mike because he takes Dremels to his guns, and I don't usually suggest that people do that, but I figured I'd just polish up the chamber a little bit. And the problem with that Strike One, it was the ammo. It was that stupid aimpoint projectiles. It didn't matter what overall length I did it. It doesn't matter how much I put the factory resizing dyne on. It just would not chamber. I had 147 grain Wolf full metal jacket. I made a couple dummy rounds, dropped in every time. So I've got some Federal Light primers. So I've made up about 50 test rounds. I'm going to take them out tomorrow because I'm off tomorrow, and I'm going to test those out. That's about it.
So when you say that, is it the diameter of the bullet that's too big then, that's out of spec?
It's not the case, because I measured the case on the ones that were going in, and my reloads were just a couple millimeters bigger. So when I made the full metal jacket ones, the diameter still stayed the same. It was the diameter of the actual bullet. Yeah. So I don't know. It might be a 3.56 compared to a 3.57.
Okay, yeah.
I think that might have been the problem.
This is me throwing you under the bus here.
I know. Usually it's George that does that, so.
But maybe it's you. Maybe it's just the way you chamber it.
It was the ammo.
I'm just saying, don't blame the ammo. Don't blame the ammo here.
Well, when we tested it, I brought my reloads, and they work fine in my Excalibur and my P94, and Tom brought some Wolf reloads, and his had the same problem too. And the full metal jacket military stuff did chamber, but it wouldn't discharge because it had the heavy primer on it. So I'm going to make some, as I said, with the Federal primers, and we'll check that out. Gun-wise, that's all I did, but that Buck 110 or 112 custom knife finally arrived. It's beautiful. I want another one. You should see this thing. It's all shiny, nickel bolsters. Oh, you can hold up the camera for Mary. She can see this.
Anything that's shiny.
Look at that. It's got a nice polished mirror blade on it. You can shave with this sucker.
I'm sure the listeners are enjoying the view.
Well, hold on. Let me put it closer to the microphone. There. Now they can see it. Okay. We'll put a picture in the show notes.
If you can blind your enemies.
You could, boy. If I can reflect the sunlight off this sucker. But if anybody wants to look at the Buck Custom Knives, I put a link in the show notes, the custom shop. What about you, Mike? What'd you do with guns this week?
Sorted and cleaned more brass. And as I was cleaning up, and I store all my stuff in coffee cans and hot chocolate containers. We have a whole pile of them. So that's what I use. And I was randomly going through a bunch of stuff, and I found another random coffee can full of 9mm brass that was dirty from, I think, last year. So now I have even more to clean and sort. So just fun with that. I've just mostly been sorting it just to get the, I went with Federal brass for Sarah for her 1911 for the match down in Florida. So I'm trying to keep it consistent Federal for all 500 rounds I plan on bringing down. So unfortunately I had to kind of dig through the piles to find enough of it to be able to load all that. Besides that, I went out and I bought an action camera. It's a knockoff. It's not the official GoPro or anything like that, but I bought it for, hoping to record some matches. And I actually went and did a match this weekend, and I was like second up, and I went to go use my camera. It turned on, and before he even asked if I was ready, it turned off. The battery had died in the cold. It sat out in the cold for like 3 hours and it just killed the battery. So I have no footage.
Didn't we do an episode about that, about keeping your batteries warm in the wintertime?
Yeah, but when, I mean, what was I supposed to do? I was there about 2 hours before the match even started, so it had plenty of time to sit in the car and slowly get cold and die. But yeah, outside of that, though, the match went relatively well. I had my first ever hang fire, and it could have been much worse than it was. It was on one stage I was shooting. I was counting my round, but I had just shot at steel, so I find a lot of times you shoot at steel, you kind of tend to lose your track of how many rounds you put down, just in case you miss any of them. And I took a shot, and I thought, that should have been my last one. And I thought, oh, well, I must have miscounted. And as I was rotating the gun to open up the cylinder, the gun went off. So if anyone's seen an IDPA target, it's a silhouette of a person. And so I was originally aiming at the center mass, and by the time the round went off, I actually shot the cardboard target right in the head by accident.
Now, so, did it go down the cylinder, or did it fire from the chamber?
Oh, it fired, like, it went out the barrel. Like, I hadn't actually pulled it. I hadn't actually opened up the cylinder yet before it had actually gone off. So it was lucky that that had happened in that way. And the round didn't go over the berm. And even the SO had said, like, oh, he's like, I'm glad I saw it go into the cardboard. Because if he didn't, he would have had to assume it went over the berm and I would have been disqualified. So it would have been done for the day.
I've only ever had one hang fire in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only one I've ever had. And it was literally half a second. And it was one of those, I really wish I had that action camera working.
The one I had was, it was 30 seconds before it went off.
Oh, wow.
It was a 22.
Yeah. No, this was probably like in like a second or two. Pretty much just enough time for me to go, that should have went off. Whatever. Go do my reload. And it went off. So, yeah. The only other issue I had is I had one light primer strike, which, I mean, I've put a few hundred rounds through with this new lot of primers. And at the lot that I reloaded all my ammunition for going down to Florida with, just after having that bad batch of primer, it just makes me nervous that there might be something wrong with the primers. But hopefully it was just the one, or hopefully it was just so stinking cold that it gave up.
Now, this was a different batch of primers, though, right?
Yeah, this is a different batch, or a different lot number, I should say. So, but hopefully it'll work out. And then besides that, I walked Sarah through taking apart her 1911 so she could change her, change out her recoil spring, her hammer spring, and her magazine release spring. So she did a good job. It went well.
So now she's going to do all of her own work on her 1911?
No, it means that this is the only time she'll do it.
Oh, okay.
No, she had mentioned to me one day, she had said, like, oh, I don't really know what you did to her, like, what I did to her gun. And I said, well, I should take it apart with her and show her what I did. And she said, well, you don't need to go in that much detail. And I thought, okay, well, I'll at least get you to take apart the gun so you have an idea of how it works internally and all that. So I'm sure she has a much better idea of how it all works now. Trigger pull did not change at all, but it did make it easier to rack the slide on it. So I'm almost guessing that it's the same weight springs, but maybe I just put better quality so they just slide a little better in there.
So you lighten the recoil spring and the hammer spring to make it easier for her to cock it?
Yeah. That was the big thing that she was having a problem with, was racking the slide. And when the hammer was cocked, she could rack it no problem. It was when the hammer was forward, trying to get that first round racked, she was having trouble with it. So this just made it a little bit easier for her. And her magazine release spring was ridiculously heavy when she got it. I had already cut it like a quarter of it off, and we got these factory manufactured magazine springs or magazine release springs, and it's so much nicer. It goes so much smoother, and also it makes it easier to load a magazine in there too, because it's not fighting that resistance the whole way in. Yeah. So I believe that is all I did this week in guns. Mary, what did you get up to?
Actually, I just finished shooting today. I competed in the Lakeshore Small Bore Association matches. I just do air rifle. That's me. And I competed for my second month of the competition, and I shot 4 points higher than last month. The first two strings of my competition didn't go so well. I had shot a 93 for both of them, which is below my average. So I had probably gotten out of position about four times, and then came back into it, gone for the walk whole bit. The feet were killing me. I probably settled down around my 35th shot, which isn't great because for women it's only 40 shots, but I was shooting the men's competition, so that was 60. So by the time I finished my 50th shot, I asked the RO how much time I had left, and he said I had 4.5 minutes, and I realized I had 4.5 minutes to shoot off 10 shots. So I got them down there. We gunned it down. It was great. But those last 10 shots ended up being the best 10 shots of my entire competition, which kind of sucked.
Isn't that opposite what your coach is trying to teach you?
It's opposite of what my coach is trying to teach me. Well, I'm pretty slow right now, but my coach says, don't worry about how fast you're going. Just worry about the technique. So I was trying to worry about the technique and, breathing from my stomach instead of my lungs and all the small things like that. But today I gunned it, and I don't know how he's going to react tonight when I tell him. It'll be fun. It's all fun. Learning experience. Maybe next time he'll have me shoot my whole relay in it. 15 minutes.
Well, like you said, you probably have to do it 5 or 6 times to see if it really makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to change something, you have to test it out about 5 or 6 times. You can't just go do it once and say, it doesn't work for me. For some things you can, if you're shooting backwards or something.
It's true, because when you mentioned to me about squeezing the grip before I do the trigger press, I did it 5 or 6 times out, and it does make a difference. It really does. Where before I would just have a standard hold, but you were telling me that just before you do the press, just squeeze the grip a little bit, and it does make a difference. But I tried it 5 or 6 times to see, and it does.
It's just the whole movement with the hand. So if you're squeezing with just your finger, then you're more likely to pull it one way or another. But if you're squeezing with the whole hand, it's a more controlled motion, and that's why it works so well.
Yeah.
And does that work better with single action, or did it work well with double actions as well? I'm thinking of the revolver trigger pull, long and heavy.
I'm sure it might have a positive effect on the double action trigger pull, because you've got the same grip, heavy grip the full time.
Yeah.
I don't think Mary's ever shot a double action revolver, have you?
I don't think so.
She has all nice single action air rifles. And then you've got a 308, right? The competition large bore?
Yeah.
So we'll have to get her out to the range and get her to do some double action shooting.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Oh, you guys are getting me doing the fancy stuff now, huh?
And I don't think she hasn't shot any actual pistols, have you, besides air pistols?
I shot a little bit. We had a ladies' day in Cornwall. And it was we got to test out a whole bunch of different pistols and stuff. So I ended up shooting a couple magnums and stuff.
How'd you like it?
I like it. I like it. It's a whole different ball game.
Oh, it is. It's definitely a whole different ball game. Gotta get you to shoot my 45. They'll like that.
Well, the one with the 10-pound trigger pull on it right now?
No, all my 1911s all have 3-pound trigger pulls.
Oh, all yours, yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't put a Nork in her hand.
Why not? The true test of a good shooter is, can you put a terrible gun in their hand and they still outshoot you?
Take me down the range.
Okay. She lives near you. Take her to the range.
The bribe is all yours.
Because you're what? How you're in Ottawa and she's in Cornwall?
Actually in Ottawa right now.
Even better. She can take out. She can try Sarah's 9mm 1911. She could try Sarah's 20-gauge semi.
Yeah.
You can babysit, and the girls can go out shooting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sounds I'm sure Sarah would go for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she would.
Here, Mike, Mary and I are going to the range for a couple hours. You can babysit.
Like 3 days later. Yeah, yeah, that was a great long practice.
Yeah. All right, well, have you been up to anything else this past week? Or recently, I should say?
This week hasn't been very much. Recently, I've been working with the national junior team coach. So I had my old coach before, and he was more of a personal coach. And so now I've been working with the national junior team coach, and basically we have a weekly update sort of schedule. So it's I actually have the paper on my wall. It's how much physical you did in a week, how many hours, how much mental, how much technical, what did you do for nutrition, recovery, the volume of shots you took, how long it took you to take those shots, what you had planned and what you actually did, and the intensity. So you have all of those things for every day of the week, and you submit it at the end of the week. So I think that's pretty cool. It's part of the thing.
This is a new coach you picked up a couple months ago?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Yes. So, that's really interesting. I actually really love it. And, that was a new thing that happened. I didn't realize how much I actually went into this step until I actually became part of the team. Because any other Team Canada I've been on, it wasn't this intense. It was just kind of okay, we're all going to gather and go have fun and shoot and win stuff. But this one's okay, we're disciplining you. You're going to shoot well, or I'm going to kick your ass.
Or you're going to have to if you want to get that gold, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Tokyo 2020.
It's just coming. It's coming. So, Mike, anything in the gun news this week?
A new indoor pistol and rifle range is coming summer of 2017. A $3.5 million state-of-the-art 15,000 square foot facility with a 17-lane, 25-yard indoor range with touchscreen, computer-controlled moving targets is coming to Ajax via the Firearms Outlet, and they need our support. Firearms Outlet has proposed to the Town of Ajax zoning amendment application. We have been working with the Town of Ajax Planning Department since late 2015 on rezoning our current location, and we are now at the final first step in the process to get approved. Construction will commence once we receive approval. Everything is lined up for immediate construction when and if we are approved. We are estimating a 4-month build followed by a grand reopening of a new, larger retail store and a 17-lane indoor state-of-the-art shooting range that is rated up to 50 BMG. More information will be made available to you as it presents itself. For now, the most important thing we need is your presence and support at this meeting. You will not be required to speak, but every person we have physically supporting us in a civil manner at this meeting shows the town that there is a want and a need for this. We have appointed representatives from every facet of this undertaking ready to handle any and all questions and opposition should they arise. Dress and deportment are of great importance. We kindly ask you to dress business casual. Please do not come in tactical or camo attire. We greatly appreciate this. We are expecting 500 plus people to show up for this event in support of Firearms Outlet Canada, so please give yourself extra time to find parking. Information on this is it is at the Ajax Town Hall meeting. It's a public open house. Zoning bylaw amendment Z2/16 for Firearms Outlet Canada. And it's on February the 27th, 2017 from 6:30 to 8 at the Town of Ajax Council Chambers, 65 Harwood Avenue South, Ajax, Ontario, L1S2H9. Thanks in advance from the Firearms Outlet Canada team. Just a side note too, please no phone calls to the store. Any questions and comments can be directed to range@firearmsoutletcanada.com. We will try and get back to you ASAP. We do not currently have details on membership rates, so please keep inquiries related to this event at this time. Information will be made available at a later time. Thank you for your continued support.
That's good news. That's really good news. And you know, Town of Ajax has actually been gun friendly in the past, because I used to belong to the range. It was just up the street from them, up on Monarch Drive. And then when that closed down, they allowed them to open up another range. So there's a second range in Ajax now. So hopefully the town will continue their support and we'll have another range.
Yeah, that's good. It's always awesome to see new ranges open up. And the fact that it's indoor is always nice. I mean, I wish I had an indoor range to go to.
Well, especially with automatic target returns. They don't even have to go down range. You can just...
Yeah, all the fun stuff you could do with that. I wonder if they'll even start renting guns there.
If they have a retail outlet, they might have a training facility. Who knows? We'll have to wait to see what Fred and the guys get lined up.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if they had a rental set up as well, just because how many times in Canada do you buy a gun just hoping that you're going to like it? Because if you don't have a friend that has the gun, and unlike the U.S. where there are tons of places that you can go and rent a gun and try it first, you don't really get that option here, so it'd be nice to have that option.
Only place I know you can do that is up in Target Sports. And maybe the
Calgary Shooting Center. Well, it sounds like a great facility.
Yeah?
So, I mean, at least I hope that they can rent guns and stuff for the public to try. Sounds like they're going to have great service, because it's in a pretty good location, too, so.
Oh, it is, and we've...
But, I mean, it would be a better location if it was in Cornwall. Just saying.
Something tells me they won't get the foot traffic in Cornwall that they'll get in Ajax, though.
They did try to open one in Brighton, but they got such negative reply.
We'll get the Americans coming up.
Yeah, they're just across the river.
Yeah, because we in Canada have so much more than the Americans do.
What if we had that range in Cornwall?
It would be nice.
Thomas.
It's all good. I'll have to check it out the next time I'm around there.
Yeah. Well, she came down. Like Fred owns a store, and I've been in the store several times. Really great little store. The staff were really good, and the prices are really fair. They get some good deals. Mike even got a nice shotgun, and his wife is getting some roses from Valentine's Day from Farms Outlet Canada.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I've never gone to Farms Outlet without leaving with something in my hands. They've always got something, and like I said, they always have great service. So.
Oh, listen, that's so nice.
Yep.
Okay, well, story two is the new firearms committee has been, or advisory committee, starting to be appointed by the leftards and liberal, and already there is a conflict of interest concern. Vice chair of the CFAC is Natalie Provost of Montreal, who is also a survivor of the Polytech shooting and a spokesman for the Police Savant. Some concerns have been raised as committee members are mandated by the Ministry of Public Safety. Own regulations are forbidden to actively lobby for an organization which Provost stands as a spokesman for an anti-group lobby. And what it says in the Act is any member participating in this committee is in his or her own personal capacity or an authorized representative of a specific organization or corporation agrees for the duration of his or her term not to, basically. So she's not allowed to be on the committee because it's a conflict of interest and they've already posted her on the committee. So firearms owners across Canada anxiously await the announcement of what the remaining members of this committee will be. Stay tuned. The CCFR is going to have more updates as they become available.
Now, I do have an update about that, actually.
Oh, okay.
They've named a second vice chair, and that's Linda Kieszko. I can't really say her last name, but she's been to the Olympics for pistol shooting multiple times. Mm-hmm. So she's also been named vice chair. And so there's a little bit of conflict between the two chairs because of the different, like, the backgrounds. One's an Olympic medalist or like an Olympic competitor. And one was a survivor at the shooting at Polytechnic. So there's a little bit of conflict there. But that also means that we might see some change for firearms owners in Canada.
Well, let's hopefully it's a change for the better, because having an Olympic shooter is definitely a positive step, but having a spokesman for an anti-gun group is as technically not even supposed to be on the chair at all. So let's see what happens with this.
Yeah.
What's up in guns right now? There's not a lot. I actually contacted Andrew from Canadian Gun Works. they should have the grand opening in the store in May, and they'll have a soft opening before that, he said. They're going to have classrooms, workshop, a storefront, retail sales, as well as a web store. So that'll be coming up soon. And a couple of about 3 or 4 months ago, we were contacted by Jamie from Big Red Firearms, and he asked us to be involved in his website. He's got a forum and everything. And we all basically said no, because we said we were too busy. Because between the show and our job, we didn't have a lot of time. And I was expecting it to be something such as Canadian Gun Nuts or Gun Owners of Canada. And I went on the site, and it's not that at all. It's very small. It's a lot of retail stuff, a small forum. A lot of reviews. It's more of an information-based and a retail-based website. So I've gotten involved, and I'm now doing some contributing some stories and some information and updates for Big Red Firearms. I put a link in the show notes for it. And I'm also going to share all the charity shoot and the carbine courses and everything that's coming up for the charity shoot on that forum as well, too. So if you haven't seen it, go on. Check out the website. He's got some great deals in a small forum if you want to get involved. And New Shooter Canada will have a small page on there as well. So the main topic, Miss Patrick. You got a lot of updates for us, don't you?
I have a few updates. I mean, I feel kind of bad because they're personal updates. But, I mean, I don't have anything interesting for you handgun owners, you rifle owners, you firearm owners, basically. But what? I can tell you a little bit from the ISSF segment of the world.
We've been waiting for our co-host to come back on the show because she's been so busy competing and teaching and coaching.
All right. Well, actually, I think – oh, no, I don't have that picture anymore. But basically, I have been busy. I've been busy teaching, coaching, schooling, shooting. So basically – the last time I was on the show, I remember I had given an update about the ISSF new rules and regulations. This time, I guess I'm going to give you guys a little bit update about me. So as you may or may not know, I have qualified for the Canadian National Rifle Team to Bisley. This also means I'm going to be competing in Wales as well as in England for the Canadian team. So woot woot, so excited. I'm actually wearing the gear right now, our team uniform. So excited.
Can you have the white shirt?
Well, it's like you get the blazer, and I have to still get the blazer because you get like a little crest on it, and then you get the white dress shirt and then the skirt for the ladies or like dress pants or whatever. So that's our team uniform. I mean, you don't wear that to shoot. It's just for like the formal occasions. And I'm earning points right now towards competing in Saal, Germany. And if I manage to place in the top 6 there, which would be a long shot, like it would be my first World Cup. But if I manage to pull it off, then that means I would qualify for the Junior Olympic Games next year. I'm not expecting to, since it's my first World Cup experience. I'm just there for the experience. But that is an opportunity if I somehow pull a great score out of my butt.
Let's hope you do. It might sound painful, actually.
I'm also confirmed. I've made my payments and everything to compete at Canadian Airgun Grand Prix. It's one of the biggest events in Canada. Last year we had 7 different countries compete at the Grand Prix. So it's a pretty great event. Great people, great atmosphere. It's at the Pan Am Ranges, so brand new facility. They're still renovating it, actually. And there's also going to be the Canadian National Smallbore Championships I'm competing at next summer, or like this upcoming summer, also at the same venue. So great people again, super awesome. I'm also hoping to qualify for the Ontario Winter Games next year, since last year we were placed in the Summer Games for shooting, but they're moving us to the Winter Games. So we'll be able to shoot both of the years sort of thing. So I'm hoping to compete and qualify for that. But if there is an international competition that kind of interferes, then I'm going to go to the international as long as I have the funding. I'm also hoping to attend the Camp Perry Open matches next January in Ohio. I went last year and it was super, super fun. It was the first time I had ever experienced a super final. And basically a super final is... it's like a regular final. You can watch a World Cup for air rifle online. there's so many shooters on the line, the audience is watching. But in the super final, they blast music, so it's blasted everywhere. Everybody's cheering. They get like the whistles going or like the little kazoos. Everybody's got like, they're cheering for their guy, their girl, their team. And it's just, it's a great time. It's a super pumped up atmosphere. So they always have one of those at night. And I think Canada's trying to do that too. We had one for a Halloween shoot, but I mean, we'll see what happens. So
let's touch a bit about your funding. Now, I've noticed you've got the CCFR is the offer to sponsor you, and you actually have a funding page going right now to raise money for the Olympics. Can you want to tell people about that?
Basically, the CCFR has been grateful and sponsored me. So this sponsorship will go towards a new shooting jacket. I also do need new shooting pants because I'm a growing woman, but this should be my last pair or one of my last pairs.
Stay away from the chicken nuggets, right?
Stay away from the chicken nuggets. Okay. You know, I've been good with my diet. I've only cheated like twice. But
well, except when you get sick. You do cheat. Oh,
except when I get sick. That's a whole different story. That's recovery chicken nuggets.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, so they've been a new sponsor. I am very happy that they have. And I have a fundraiser site going on. It's in the show notes. I was going to say it, but it's in the show notes. Basically, the funding that I receive from this campaign is going to go towards my international competitions. And if I have anything left over, it'll go towards getting myself a new pair of pants because I don't fit mine anymore.
Okay, so that would fund something like Bisley or Germany or Tokyo?
Yeah, it will. I'm trying to save up for Bisley. Bisley's almost covered. Right now, with what we've raised so far, Germany would be almost covered. But I also have to get to Toronto multiple times a year for the training camps, the competitions, the national competitions to qualify for the teams. Next year will be Ohio, the Ontario Summer Games, which should also be in Toronto. So it's all those little competitions as well as the international ones that help you get to the international stage. So it's just raising the money for those kinds of trips. And eventually the Olympics. I mean, I can't hide away from that one. So.
And that's what, 2020 or 2021?
2020, hopefully. I mean, I won't find out until 2020, but we're going to definitely try. I lost you.
What's good? I forgot to unmute my microphone.
Oh, I thought it was with my internet. I'm like, is he still there?
No, the old guy's forgetful.
It's okay. We all have those moments sometimes.
They're becoming more and more frequent. So George and Mike remind me quite often.
But yeah, that's basically it from my end. I picked up a scat trainer for one of my buds. I'm training with another one of my buds for full bore, for Bisley this summer, and for air rifle. I'm on the strict training program with the new coach.
How's the scat trainer working out? That's the electronic one that shows you where your shots are going and your movement and everything. Cause you posted a picture of that up on your webpage.
Yeah, I think I can post the actual scat file. The latest one was pretty interesting, actually. Like I was shooting, right? And I had some pretty amazing groups there. I'm just going to point that out there. Some pretty awesome groups. I was very happy with it. But at the very beginning, I had pulled a 4. So I don't know how you guys would consider that. But for us, that's almost off the target. It was just kind of one of those things where you're shooting and you're settling in. But if you settle in too far, something slips and the trigger goes off. So, I mean, it's okay. It was all fun and games. Still ended up with a high score.
Yeah, that happens to all of us. Usually we call it negligent discharge, but as long as it hits the target, it's okay.
It's all good. It's all good, yeah. I mean, our target was big enough to hit, so.
Okay, I was speaking to listener Terry, and he actually sent in this little clip from the ATF. We're just going to generally go over this once, and then we're just going to discuss it. So there has been a change on the importation rules of firearms going into the United States. If you're transitioning, like say if you live out in Alberta and you want to come to Ontario, instead of having to drive all the way around Lake Superior, which adds 6 hours to your trip, you can cut through the states. And normally you would need a hunting license in order to do that. Well, they've actually, the ETF actually changed the rules. So I'll tell you what was posted on the website, and we'll just discuss it a little bit. It says, generally, if a non-immigrant alien is transitioning the United States with a firearm, they are not required to have an ATF Form 6 issued by the State Department. You must be in physical possession of the firearm. However, you need to meet one of the exceptions outlined in 18 USC-992Y. For example, if you're a non-immigrant alien and you'll be driving through the United States as a shortcut to get from one part of Canada to another, and you'll have a firearm, you do not need to file an ATF Form 6 because you're not temporarily bringing them into the country for hunting or other lawful purposes. You don't need an import license from the State Department. There is an exception to the license requirement that does apply. Basically, what they're saying is that you don't need a hunting license, but you can bring them in. But Mike and I were discussing this. Why would you even bother risking the chance? If you're just going to the United States, whether you're transitioning through or not, wouldn't it be better just to get an ATF Form 6 anyway? That way you can, whatever is on your Form 6, you can bring in. What are your thoughts on this, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I just can't imagine rolling up to the border and saying to the, you know, U.S. Customs guys, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I got a couple of guns in my trunk. I'm just doing a shortcut. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah. Like, it's
like, that just seems like a dumb idea for how easy it is to get a 6 NIA form. Like, unless you're in a situation, and this is the only time I could ever see myself doing this, is if you drive from Ontario to Manitoba, when you get to, oh, I can't remember, it's about 2 hours before you get to Thunder Bay, there's one bridge. There's only one bridge to get out, like, to get from one side of the river to the other. And apparently last year, that bridge had, like, crumbled to the ground. And you had two options. Either you sat there and waited for the bridge to get rebuilt, or you went down into the U.S. and around. That's the
Wasn't that the guy with the dump truck or something hit the bridge, or?
I can't remember what it was.
I remember the bridge was closed, and that's the only bridge into the U.S. You had to go all – it was like a 6 or 8 hour drive detour going all the way around.
Well, no, it wasn't going into the U.S. It was going across Ontario.
Was it Ontario?
It was just getting from one side of, you know, a giant valley to the other, and it's just the only bridge that goes across that valley without going south through the U.S. and then coming back up somewhere else. So – with the exception of that, if you're driving through there and you're on your way to a hunting trip out to Manitoba, or vice versa, you're in Manitoba and you're on your way to Ontario, like, unless you're on like a $10,000 hunting trip and you're willing to do anything to make that trip, I can't imagine even trying to cross the border.
And the other thing too, they're like, on your Form 6, you can't bring any short-barreled rifles. Centerfire rifles got to be over 18 inches. And then you're going through New York State. You've got the SAFE Act there. And Kevin went through this last year. If he's bringing his AR, it has to be through the state and out again. You can't stop at any time. So I would, you know, even though they said you don't need the hunting license or you don't need the Form 6, I would still contact the State Department and ask them if the firearm you intend on bringing over is even allowed in the country, because it could be prohibited from me entering the United States as well, too.
Yeah.
Like
it might be like specific firearms or specific types of firearms, because how can they end up trusting somebody that with, like, how can they have that much trust in people to just make the shortcut?
Not trust their own citizens that much, right? So I can't imagine anything short-barreled getting around. Well, I should say short-barreled rifles or shotguns, because their shotguns are classified kind of funny, aren't they?
Well, you can have a short-barreled rifle and a shotgun, but you need a tax stamp. It's a $200 tax stamp.
Yes, essentially you register it.
Yeah, it's basically registered.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd hate to have to go over the border. Like, I've got the 13-inch Uzcon. It's, you know, it's only like a $300 shotgun, but I'd hate to have it confiscated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you're going on a hunting trip at the other end of it, what good is it if you don't have your gun, right? Yeah,
exactly. Well, see, if you're going hunting, then you would need the hunting license
Form 6. I'm saying if you're hunting in Canada, but you're just cutting through the U.S., like, just say you're going to New Brunswick or Nova Scotia, one of those places to go hunting, and you're going to take a shortcut through New York or Vermont to get there.
yeah, it wouldn't be worth the risk of losing it.
No.
And definitely don't go through New Jersey if you've got a restricted firearm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've heard horror stories about that stuff. And, yeah, and you even mentioned, or no, it was a while ago, the they re-released the Desert Eagles, the light version of it, so that it would be New York compliant.
New York legal.
Yeah, because I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that there was a weight limit on their handguns, so.
I didn't know about the weight limit either.
Yeah.
That was their way of getting out of them.
Yeah, and that's just it, right? That's one of the nice things about being in Canada. Our laws are the same from one coast to the other, right? Whereas in the U.S., depending on which state you're cutting through, the laws could change, right?
Yeah, so if you're going to transition, take a shortcut through the states, find out the laws of the state that you're going through, maybe call the ATF and just make sure that the State Department for that particular state and make sure you're actually legal to even have that firearm in your possession going through the state.
Yeah. Or just but do your six NIA, right?
Yeah.
Because if you do your six NIA, like you said, anything short barreled, they'll stop you right there. Right? So you're covered there. And like you've mentioned, I think if you email it in, it takes like a week or two to get it back. So
I mean, and it doesn't cost anything.
No, it doesn't cost you anything. And you can redo it as many times as you want. It's not like you only get one shot a year. Because one of the guys that I'm going down to Florida with, I think he said he's already put in four of them, like just in 2017. Because he keeps buying a new gun and going, oh, I might want to bring this down. So he gets another six on AA just in case he wants to bring it down. So.
Well, that's what I did on mine. It was like three sheets because I put every single firearm that I owned on it. That I could legally bring over the border. And all I brought was my 10/22 last time I went, but I brought like, I put 30 guns on it. I only brought one.
Yeah. Well, it's just nice to have the option, right? And like you said, what happens if last minute you decide to bring something else? Like I got lucky. One of the guys, I'm not traveling with him particularly, but he's coming down for the shoot. He randomly put his Smith & Wesson 686 on his form. Well, I was talking to him and I asked him, if he could bring that down. So I have a backup, because if my revolver blows up, like, no one's going to have a revolver to hand me and say, here, just keep going with mine, as opposed to if you're running a Glock or an MVP, there's someone you can borrow a gun off of. So, and I just got lucky. He happened to put it down on his form, so he can legally bring it down, and now I can use that as a backup gun.
Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, because nothing would suck more than literally driving from the north to the south of the U.S. for a match, and then have your gun fail on you and go, I guess I'll watch everyone else shoot for the rest of the weekend.
Especially if you seen that happen before.
Yeah. But let's roll on to events.
Sure. Event number one, the latest CSSA gun draw is for a Browning Maxis shotgun. Tickets are one for $20, three for $50, and $100 gets you 10 chances plus a one-year membership to the CSSA. The draw will be held on March 1st, 2017. You can buy your tickets online. You can find the link in the show notes. And as a note, you must have your firearms license if you are the winner.
Okay, I'll do a dent too since I put all this writing in here. It's the March 11th. It's the AR-15 basic course put on by Ragnarok Tactical. It's Saturday, March 11th between 8 and 5. I'll just give you a little course description. The AR-15 basic course is designed with the new AR owner in mind. Students will be given a crawl, walk, run approach to handling their ARs at ranges from 5 to 50 yards. The basic course focuses on the fundamentals of marksmanship and successfully applying these fundamentals to the AR family of rifles. This course includes a classroom portion that covers cleaning and maintenance of your rifle. There are no prerequisites to attend this course. A hot lunch, use your Southern-style pulled pork, and all the fixings is included. Where possible, steel targets will also be employed during the training. Some of the topics will be the nomenclature, operations, loading, unloading, how to clear stoppages, zeroing, shooting positions, cleaning and maintenance. The mandatory equipment list is eyes and ears, of course, an AR-15. The more mags, the better. 200 rounds of ammunition, a cleaning kit. Optional list is, of course, sling, ground sheet, sandbags, shooting rest bipods, mag pouches, tactical gear and stuff. The cost is $176.99 plus theft, and the course is already half full already.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is the AR-15 course, so you need to have an AR-15. You can't bring your Tavor then.
Well, it said AR-15-like. I'm sure Andrew would mind if you brought your Tavor or your Swiss Arms, but it's more or less designed for the AR-15.
Well, it is also called the AR-15 Basics course, not just a rifle course, but
yeah. So I would think he'd want you to bring your AR-15. Like, don't bring your High Point carbine. You know,
why not? It shoots just as great. It's just as accurate as long as you're shooting within, you know, 20 yards.
Yeah, that's about it. 20 yards. That's about I can keep it inside 3 or 4 inches at 20 yards. Yeah. Well, for 50 yards, I can keep it inside 3 or 4 inches. And at 20 yards, it'll usually group at least an inch or two.
What caliber do you have that in?
9mm.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if it's a 45, then pretty much two shots side by side is an inch.
Yeah, that's about it. Okay, so we'll get you to the next one, Mike, since Mary wouldn't even be able to figure this one out.
Yep, so this is the Manitoba Mounted Shooting Association. It's having the beginner / intermediate mounted shooting clinic. This is being held at Shalanchuk Acres, 103 West and 48th Road North in Nesbitt, Manitoba. It is on April 22nd. It's from 10 to 4, and it costs $120, and it is limited to 10 people. The clinic does include a free 1-year membership to first-time MMSA members. To get in on this, please contact Angie at 204-298-7533 or email at manitobamountedshooters@gmail.com to confirm your spot. Payment is required at time of booking.
Isn't that Mary's name next?
Yep.
Oh, yes, Mary Event Court. She was typing and she was muted again, wasn't she?
Sorry. I was only adding show notes.
Yes, Event 4?
Yeah. The Canadian Airgun Grand Prix. I will be attending this match. If you would like to attend or even watch, it'll be held on May 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2017. Athletes from Canada, USA, India, and Trinidad and Tobago have already registered. The popular relays fill up fast and the number of competitors is limited, so don't wait to register if you're planning on shooting. This is open for air rifle and air pistol. The link to the Facebook page is in the show notes, which leads to the registration. And if you need any additional information and letters of invitation, please contact Sherry Akau. Her email's in the show notes.
Excellent. And actually, I plan to drop by there and see you shoot. And take pictures.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, I got to come see you shoot, and I'm going to bring my camera and take some pictures for you. Next event.
It's a great event, so if you guys want to come out and watch, it's super great.
Yeah, I made sure I'm actually off that weekend. So I'm actually off on the Sportsman Show, too, so I'll be there for the Saturday. You're there the Saturday, the Sunday?
Yeah.
So I'm going to drop by the Sportsman Show, which I guess we should throw in the Sportsman Show, right? That's March break. So it's what, the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th at the International Center. Am I correct?
I think it might be the 15th as well, but I know for the 16th to the 19th, it's definitely on.
Okay.
And I will be there the 18th and the 19th with the CCFR. My coach will also be there with the ORA. So if you guys want to check us out, I'll be there with bringing my hubby, my rifle. I will be signing calendars for you guys. So come out and see me.
Bring your calendars, or you can buy a calendar and get it signed right there by Mary, because she's Miss February.
Miss February, and look what month it is.
is your dad Scott coming too?
No,
are you driving out there?
It'll be just me.
Oh, okay. I wanted to meet your dad, but that's okay.
Maybe he can come to football.
Well, if he comes to the Pan Am thing, I might see him there.
Well, he doesn't know if he's going to be attending the Pan Am yet, so. I mean, we'll see.
Okay. So next event is July 7th in cooperation with the charity shoot. On July 7th, we have the Carbine Operator Course. Again, it's by Reinhardt Tactical. It's Friday, July 7th between 9 and 5 p.m. Tickets are available online. For this one event, all the proceeds from this event are going to the charity shoot, to the charity, which is excellent. And I should mention anything that we mentioned from Reinhardt Tactical, Andrew has all his courses booked at the Guelph Rod and Gun Club this year. And we'll put a note in the show notes for the Ragnarok Technical Instruction thing and all the different courses that are coming up this year. You can go in, you can sign, see what Andrew has available. He teaches the carbine courses. So, what's the next one, Mike?
Yeah, I just want to point out this one, he calls it a carbine operator course as opposed to the AR-15 course. So this one probably a lot more open to the guys with Tavors and Swiss arms and things like that.
Yeah, this one isn't specific to the AR-15. It's for any self-loading semi-automatic rifle, I would assume.
Event number 6 is the 7th Annual Podcasters Charity Shoot. It is being held Saturday, July 8th, 2017 at the Guelph Rod and Gun Club. It is in support of the Many to One charity. It's up to $40 now. It's being hosted by the Canadian Patriot Podcast in partnership with the International Liberty or Death Podcast. Sponsors are rolling in for the upcoming 7th Annual Podcasters Charity Shoot. Big thanks to Canadian Coalition of Firearms Rights, Ragnarok Tactical, Highlander Tactical, Valkyrie Defense Group, CDN Gunworks, S&J Hardware, and Spartha Tactical. Sponsorship opportunities are still available for those who might be interested. Contact us or our co-host, the International Liberty or Death Podcast, or any of the other fine podcasts giving us a helping hand, Modern Rifleman Radio, Slamfire Radio, and New Shooter Canada. All proceeds go towards Many to One from the Canadian Patriot Pot. Oh, this is all from
the Canadian. You see, if I put little asterisks in there, it means you don't read that.
Oh, no, that's not. Brackets. Brackets mean you don't read them. Hashtag or the little star things mean that they're important. So you have to read them.
Oh, I just put it there so you knew where I got it from. I actually took it from Andrew's page, so.
No. No, little stars mean they're important. You have to read them. Brackets mean skip it.
Well, you know I have cataracts.
No, I don't see so well.
But we actually put the link for Ragnarok Tactical underneath in the show notes, so you can go check out all the courses that Andrew's putting on this year. It's funny, I messaged him, and I asked him about the three shoots. He goes, "What do you mean three shoots?" He thought we were only promoting the charity shoot. I said, no, you've got an AR-15 operator course coming up. We've been promoting it because, you know, there's a lot of new shooters. He goes, oh, thank you. So any course you go for him, you have to pay for. But the carbine operator course on the 7th, all proceeds are going to the charity shoot. So and did you see the thing they've got on too? If they beat what we raised last year, Gavin's getting tattooed. And if he beats it by a bigger percent, he's getting another tattoo.
Yeah, I've heard this, but I haven't actually read into it.
Yeah, they've got a video up on their page. So last year we blew all previous records out of the water. I think our total was they said 55, but it's actually 57 was our total. And if they beat it by a certain percent, and you know what, I think they're going to.
They could very well.
They could do it.
Yep.
It'd be great if they do.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's always good if you get beaten when it comes to charity, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So hopefully they will, and we'll keep supporting them.
Oh, definitely. So what's the next one, Mary?
All right, so event number 7 is the Got Your Six Charity Rifle Competition will be held at the Edson Fish and Game Association Longest Mile Range in Edson, Alberta on July 22nd and 23rd. It'll be a team shoot with great prizes to be won. I love team shoots, so yep. Go out and shoot.
Excellent.
There's my motivation to you guys.
Okay, so listener email. You know what? I'm going to do Matt's, and I'm going to let Mary read splatters. How's that, Mike?
Go ahead.
Okay, Matt from Geek Gadget and Guns, we are comments about the High Point and the Dry episodes. He points out that the High Point still lives, and the only handgun they actually did the dry ice test was the Glock 17. And he said, honestly, we're not sure if it's truly possible to destroy it. We will try again with the new, better high-speed camera arrives, and then he finally gave up, and when he finally gives up and drops the $3,000 or $4,000 they needs for a new laptop.
Yep.
All right, so I guess I'm on the second one then?
Yeah, you're on the splatter one.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's two splatter ones here.
Oh, you read them all.
Go for it. I mean, Mike didn't need a part. All right, so hey guys, splatter again. This time I'm here on the Christians Known Adulterers comment. First, I'd like to tell you that I am not a Christian. I'm not sure that I'd be an atheist, more like an agnostic. I have, however, read the Bible from cover to cover, including the apocryphal texts. The reason that Christians never stoned lawbreakers is that the laws given in the book of
Leviticus.
Leviticus and Deuteronomy were to keep the Jews ready. What? Are you judging my pronunciation?
No, not at all.
Okay. Anyway, so the reason that Christians never stone lawbreakers is that the laws given in the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy were to keep the Jews ready for the arrival of the Messiah. These laws were fulfilled by the acceptance of Jesus. Jesus wasn't actually accepted by God until he was baptized at the age 30 or 33 when he actually started his ministry. Jesus then gave new laws to those who would follow him.
Then he wrote in again. We were saving these for
Oh, okay. I guess. I'll save this one too. I mean, me again. Sorry. Hey, bros. Back on the topic of the concealed weapon possibilities. You make the mistake of applying logic to it. The law is the law. No logic required. While a firearm is still a de facto weapon, under current Canadian law, you still have to show the intent, mens rea, to conceal it. So if you say to Constable Friendly, I guess you're right. It does kind of look like a guitar case. I never noticed before. The Crown might decide that there is a reasonable doubt about your intentions. And you are correct. Solomon Friedman or Ed Berlew might be able to get you off, and you might even have the legal insurance so that the legal bills don't bankrupt you. However, can you afford the time that you're going to spend in custody? How about the time you're going to spend in court? And what if you lose? Yes, you might win the appeal. Do you know the term pyrrhic victory? Do I think that it's good that we have to follow unreasonable rules that we have no actual basis in law to stay out of trouble? No, I do not. Frankly, I believe that a place where the law enforcement apparatus makes the rules is properly called a police state. So here's the thought experiment for anyone that thinks the I'm only taking it to my car, then straight to the range and back, so it doesn't matter what the case looks like. What if your vehicle suddenly becomes disabled? It happens to new and well-maintained vehicles being driven by careful drivers every day. So you're on the side of the road with a vehicle that needs a flat deck to get anywhere. Now what? But if there is a nice big Sig Sauer or Pietro Beretta sticker on it, you're good to go. I just want all of us to be able to continue to enjoy this currently endangered sport lifestyle without unnecessarily failing afoul of this legal mess that is the Canadian firearms legislation. Speaking of which, do you all have your Conservative Party membership so that you can vote for the new leader? So you can send any feedback to the host at newshootercanada.ca. It's in the show notes, our Facebook page, or in our comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca.
Excellent. Did you look at the Facebook likes yet, Mike?
Nope, I have not. I checked the iTunes and the Stitcher.
I think the last time the Facebook, we were at 1,033 last time I looked.
1,033? Okay. Well, we kind of blew over Splatter's email. I don't really, I don't follow enough in religion to really answer his religion question, but I do know, because I always hear their commercial on other podcasts, is they have the God and Guns podcast. So if you are interested in that kind of stuff, then that could be somewhere that you may want to go and explore that topic further.
Yeah, that was definitely a George question.
Yeah. Yeah. Outside of that, though, he's right about your cases, your being in that situation where your car breaks down. You never really know what's going to happen when you're, like he said, just going to the range, right? So, you know, it is always a good thing to follow all the laws properly. And, you know, as much as you don't have to, it's always good to take that one extra step further so that if you get into a situation like that, you don't have to worry about the repercussions that may come upon you.
Well, actually, I took his advice, and my guitar case now has Colt Canada stickers all over it.
Well, there you go.
I took off the Gibson label, and now it says Colt Canada.
Yeah. Well, think of how many times you go to events and things like that where everyone's just giving you stickers, right? Even if you don't have the gun, right? Maybe you get a Smith & Wesson sticker, and you're like, I don't have a Smith & Wesson. I don't care. Who cares? Grab a dozen of them and just stick them on everything, and bam, you're done. You'll never have to worry about it again.
Well, he's right, because we went to the charity shoot. I brought my AR in the guitar case. And the first thing Steve Lee said, oh, you play, mate? And I said, no, that thing just plays one note. And he automatically thought there was a guitar in the case.
Yeah.
So I guess I am hiding it, not intentionally.
Yeah.
But it was the only case it would fit in.
Yeah. It's one of those things where in your head, it's not, you know, it's obvious that you're not trying to hide it, but to anyone else from the outside looking at it, especially if they don't, like, that's even in a situation where you're at the range, right? Imagine if you were being pulled over by a police just randomly on the side of the road, even if you're two blocks away from the range, they probably wouldn't, they wouldn't even think that a gun is in there. So if you told them there's a gun in there, they're instantly going to think, oh, he's hiding it.
Yeah, you're concealing it. So that's a good point. Good point.
We got a situation like that not too long ago. I won't specify the area and I won't specify the people for the protection of them. But we did have, there was a case like that. There was a kid who brought a rifle to school, but he brought it in a guitar case. And he had brought 20 rounds, or he brought 20 rounds and there were 21 people in his class. There were 20 people in his class and he brought 21 rounds in his pocket. And he had put the guitar case on the back, like at the back of the classroom. And the teacher just thought, like, oh, it's a guitar. He's going to play, like, during recess or something. And so he had left it there. And the teacher went to move it just to make sure that it wasn't going to fall off the desk. She's like, okay, you know, I'm just, like, going to move this so it doesn't fall. And the kid was like, no, don't touch it. And this kid was, like, in grade 7 or 8 or something. But the kid was like, no, don't touch it. Like, I will move it. And she's like, why? What's wrong with it? So she opens the case. She finds a rifle. And she calls, like, the code or whatever for the whole school, like, the lockdown code. But, like, yeah, they, like, take and everything from him, and we don't know what his plans were, but just seeing how many, like, bullets and stuff there were, seeing how many kids in the classroom there were, we, like, suspected that they weren't bad intention, like, they weren't good intentions. So at the same time, I kind of disagree, like, with taking the guitar case. It's like, you can get a really cheap case and people will know that it's a rifle case. Just make sure it locks.
Yeah, the point is rifle cases, like you said, Walmart, Canadian Tire, they're so dirt cheap. Just go buy one. Stop being so cheap, George, and just go buy a $15 case.
You don't need to cover your stickers. Just go buy one.
Yeah.
It says, well, the only
you can even get one that feels like a guitar case, but it's not.
Yeah. I've got probably 10 cases, 15 cases downstairs, and none of them fit my AR with the high scope mount on it and the big pistol grip.
Yeah,
that's why I use a guitar case.
I know, but at the same time, like, once again, you go to Canadian Tire or Walmart, and for probably $25, you get the double rifle case, and that one will be tall enough for a pistol grip with a scope on it.
Well, I do have a double rifle case, but I took all the sponge off to make something, and I don't have any sponge to fit it, so I got this big double rifle case with no sponge in it. So,
sorry, that was an unintentional throwing you under the bus, but I got to get you back from earlier somehow.
Yeah, I deserved it. I deserved it.
But, well, then that's just your fault for ripping out all the foam, right? So,
well, that's what I took when I made the turn my briefcases into gun cases. That's what I did. I used the sponge from the double one.
Yeah, but like I said, go buy another one. Then I'm sure if you got the cheap one from Canadian Tire, it's Flambeau, I think it is. It's the product they carry. I'm sure if you went on their website for $5, you could probably buy replacement foam or something. So,
okay, I won't use the guitar case anymore. Damn.
Dang it!
Well, like I said, at least that you put the Colt sticker on there, it shows the intention, or it tries to show some more intention that you're not hiding, right?
I could put a sticker right saying, "This is not a guitar. This is a gun."
I feel like that's almost as bad as when an officer walks up to your car and you say, "I have a gun." I think that's
I don't tell him anything.
I know. I wouldn't suggest it either, but you're pretty much putting it out there.
Like, I got stopped having a cigarette in the church, like the way my route coming home. It was a small church. It's really quiet. I stop and I have a cigarette, maybe check my messages before I go all the way home. And 3 times I've been stopped by the Durham police just having a cigarette. And that's one thing that caught – most of them were pretty – but this one guy was a real PR. And he turned to me and goes, "Do you have anything in the car that you're not supposed to have?"
Yes, officer. I'm going to blatantly admit to you because I'm an idiot.
Yes, I've got illegal weapons and drugs in my car, but I'm not going to tell you about it. And he takes his flashlight and he shines it all through the car. Of course, you can't see anything.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It just seems like a – I'm really curious on their statistics of how many people, like accidentally blurt out something before they realize, oh wait, that's a cop. I'm not supposed to say that. Like,
oh, I'm sure people do all the time.
Yeah.
The rule of thumb is when you get stopped by a cop, duct tape your mouth. Insurance, yeah. Registration, that's it. You don't have to answer any questions. You have no requirement of the Highway Traffic Act to tell him where you're going or where you're coming from. That's none of his business. He will ask you what's in his car. Just say, I'm sorry, I don't answer questions. And you don't have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Actually, the CCSA, Ed Berlew had a really good column in there. And I think you can still get it from their legal information. And he tells you exactly what to do when you're getting pulled over by a police officer. And his recommendation is duct tape is your friend. Never give them anything more than you're supposed to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, we squirrel off every time. So shout outs, Mary. Do you have any shout outs?
Yes, actually, I do. Sorry, I was totally out of it listening to your story. So my two shout outs for the week are my two sponsors. I have three sponsors, but two are new. So I would like to give a shout out to the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights, who is sponsoring my jacket, and PGW Defense Technologies in Winnipeg. They're probably going to end up sponsoring one of my trips. So shout out. Thank you. From an athlete to you.
As in Prairie Gunworks, the people who make the long-range rifles for the military?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah,
those are some sweet rifles. If I had $5,000, I still wouldn't be able to afford one, but.
Well, that would give you a down payment on the gun.
Yeah. 5% deposit. Oh, but they are some nice rifles.
My shout out, of course, is the Buck Custom Shop. Isn't that pretty?
No.
I put the link to the show notes and I put a picture in the show notes too. And, they've only got 7 knives on the custom shop, but you should see their Bowie knife. Oh my God. It's like $550, but it's gorgeous. My friend Gaetano at work, it's all his fault. He got me into knife collecting a couple of months ago. So Gaetano, thank you for this new addiction. And Jamie from Big Red Firearms, thanks for setting up our page for us. So. Want to check out a new forum and a new gun shop? Go on to Big Red Firearms. And Mike?
My shout out this week goes to Freedom Ventures. To make a very, very, very long story short, Sarah had, or yeah, shorter, not short, but shorter. Sarah had ordered a new shooting belt. She got an inside-outside belt, but it's also, you can just use the outside part for IDPA. And she had ordered it back before Christmas, I think, or either right after Christmas. And they had said, like, oh, it was a custom order belt because of the color and size. So they said, yeah, we can do it. It'll come in on the next shipment. It'll be here in, I think, end of January. End of January rolled around, Sarah called them up and they said, oh, you know, everything's kind of delayed because of SHOT Show. And, you know, but we were assured by the manufacturing company that they would have it by mid-February. Well, they called up Sarah this week and told her that, I guess, the manufacturer had just completely fell through on actually sending it out to them. And Sarah had mentioned to them previously that she wanted it in time for her match in Florida. She wanted this good high quality belt for Florida. So whoever did at Freedom Ventures offered to send Sarah just the plain black belt in the correct size for free for her to keep so that she would have a new belt for Florida.
So oh, excellent.
After Sarah's done with it, we get to keep it. So I get a new belt out of it. Cause Sarah's going to get her next belt too in her fun color. So I think that's awesome customer service from Freedom Ventures. So I just want to give them a shout out.
Trevor said a lot of nice things about Freedom Ventures because he's buying all his STIs and 10 Falco wheels from them. So yeah, good stuff.
But yeah, that's the kind of customer service that you don't find anywhere else. So big shout out to them.
Excellent. Well, Mary, do you have a final sign off plan? Like have you thought what you're going to say to throw us under the bus or?
Well, I mean, I've already thrown you under twice, so I figured I wouldn't be mean. I just wanted to say thank you both because you guys were great co-hosts today, you know, kind of taking over that lead host role for me for a little bit. So thank you. Shout outs to yous. And do you guys have any closing statements before we wrap up?
Well, I always say take your kids shooting.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
Shoot perfect shots. Good night, listeners. Thank you for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Well, I really like 22 now.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.